Hi, I'm Dr. Boyce Watkins, and welcome to Financial Lovemaking, where we talk about love, life, money, and everything in between. I'm here with my buddy, partner, and co-host, the entertainment director at Ebony Magazine, Miss S. Tia Brown. How are you doing today, Tia?
I'm doing well, kind of. Let me say this. You told me about something earlier today that kind of made me feel a little, some kind of way. It's about one of my favorite actresses in Hollywood, Monique. And apparently she's come out with this statement saying that she's been blackballed. Now, she told this to the Hollywood Reporter. And, you know, of course, I wish she would have given the scoop to one of us. But she didn't. But the content is still extremely important. Monique said that, you know, her career since winning the Oscar hasn't been what she imagined. She won in 2010 for Precious, which everybody loved, and it was widely acclaimed. And she said that she found out from Lee Daniels, you know, the famed director, producer of The Butler, of Precious, of Empire, which is one of my favorite shows, that she'd been blackballed, and he didn't tell her why. So a lot of people are speculating as to the reason. Monique goes into a little bit in her statement about why she feels she was blackballed by the industry. And Lee Daniels talks a little bit about their relationship. But I just thought that that was phenomenal because no one really talked trash about Monique, you know, during her 15-year career in Hollywood. Remember, she did The Parkers. She had a great stand-up career. And then she transitioned to movies. And no one talked about her being difficult or being a diva. And usually that's what people are blackballed for. But this seems a bit different. What do you think, Boyce?
You know, it's so crazy that this story about Monique came out today because literally, I kid you not, I'm not making this up. Last night when I laid down, for some reason...
You had a dream about Monique.
I didn't have a dream about her, but I did think about her. I thought about the fact that she'd hosted that show on BET. I thought about her role in The Parkers.
The talk show.
Right, I thought about her role in The Parkers and the stuff she did on Def Comedy Jam. And I think for a second I thought, well, what's she been in lately? And I couldn't think of anything. And so then I get up today and I see this story. So it was really weird. Mm-hmm. And you know, I've always liked Monique. I like Monique a lot more than I like Lee Daniels. I don't like Lee Daniels. I think that he's a disturbed human being. But it reflects itself in the films that he creates. And if you read his bio, you'll see some interesting stuff. But my issue with Lee Daniels is not important here. What is interesting, though, is that, you know, Hollywood is a deranged place. I mean, you're more likely to do well in Hollywood if you are sick, if you're a sellout, if you are hurtful to people, than you are if you're a good, normal person. And then here's the thing about Monique. If you look at her Oscar speech, her acceptance speech, you know, she gave tribute to Hattie McDaniel, if I'm not mistaken. She, you know, made a very thoughtful, conscientious statement. She tends to say things that are thoughtful. You know, that she carries the... how can I say this? She carries the banner for black people as an actress.
In some ways, definitely.
In many ways, right? And even with the way she did her show on BET, there was always just this conscientiousness in the background. You don't really see that with Lee Daniels. I think that's why Lee does so well. Lee's like, man, screw black people. Black people suck. You know, let's just throw out some ratchetry, some stereotypes, and I'm gonna make my money from
Daniels
the Jews.
To the bus. What? I love
them. Yeah, well, I mean, seriously, though.
I love Precious. I'm a fan of Empire.
But think about this, though. I mean, Precious was a problematic movie because these are the only depictions of black families that we tend to really get in these films. I mean, every now and then you get something that's not dysfunctional. But, I mean, Precious, think about this. I'll say this. And someone made this point, and I can't help but disagree with this. Or, excuse me, but agree with this point. He said, look, if you tried to go to Hollywood and get a script greenlit that featured a Jewish family where a little girl was being molested by her mother and everybody else and all these other things were happening, you would not get that film greenlit. You would not. The Jewish community, for example, is very protective of the imagery that they put of themselves out to the world. Molestation happens in Jewish families, but they would never let you greenlight a film like that. Black folks, on the other hand, if you know, you can bring any kind of crappy dysfunction you want of black people, any crazy negative imagery you want, and they'll say, "Ooh, that's good. That's what black people do. That's what we like." But let's look at the flip side of that, and then I'll let you talk. I admit I'm passionate right now, so I'm it's flowing. I got to let this out.
Okay, go ahead.
I also spoke with Mark Harris yesterday, who made the film Black Coffee, which I've been raving about. I love this film. It's just as dramatic as Empire. It's just as much fun. It's just as interesting. But, you know, But most of the imagery in that film is positive. Black men and women love each other. They don't hate each other. Black men are not trying to kill each other. Black women are not being catty with each other. It's the opposite of what you see in reality TV, right? And check this out. He said, I said, well, what happened when you took this to Hollywood? What did they say when you took the script to them? He said, I didn't take it to Hollywood because I know how they're going to react to this. They're going to change it around and say, you need to make it more realistic. So he took it to some black people that funded the film.
What they thought was stereotypical.
Exactly. So, so that's my thing. I think that Monique, maybe, unfortunately, not playing the game might mean not going along with, you know, the violent or neck-swinging stereotypes that, that people expect from black people. They have these roles that are designed for us, and I'm getting a little bit sick of it. So I applaud Monique for standing up.
Well, you know, if you look at Monique's body of work, she's done a lot of different things. On The Parker, she was very much one of those roles that had a lot of stereotypes in it, but it also had some positivity. And I think that TV is all about balance. I don't think there's anything wrong with Precious as long as we can see a best man. I don't think there's anything wrong with Love and Hip Hop as long as we can see a Mary Mary. We need to have the balance. What happens is that the conversation ends up being dominated by the negative shows because the drama is salacious. Do I think it's important for us to guard our image? Yes. But I also think that there can be help and healing in telling certain stories. And Precious is one of those stories that created so much conversation. I remember when the book came out about STDs, because the character had HIV, about abuse, about molestation. So should this be the predominant story of any community? Absolutely not. But it is one of the stories that's important to tell. And because another community chooses to block that, doesn't mean that it doesn't have value. I wanted to read to you really quickly, back to our original topic, Lee Daniels' statement about his relationship with Monique. And this is what he told the Hollywood Reporter. Monique is a great creative force to be reckoned with. Her demands through Precious were not always in line with the campaign. This soured her relationship with the Hollywood community. I consider her a friend. I have and always will think of her for parts that we can collaborate on. However, the consensus among the creative teams and powers thus far were to go in other directions with these roles. Now, in her statement, Monique speaks to actually having read and auditioned for the roles in Empire, in The Butler, and having the kibosh essentially put on them. So this isn't really just about a beef or a perceived beef with Lee Daniels. It seems like maybe he was the messenger. But it's about her angering, in some way, people who are financing these projects. So my question is, you know, who are those people? What has she done? And what will be different? Because not only is this affecting her career, this is affecting, you know, her relationships with other people in Hollywood. So it's very interesting.
Well, you know, I will say that I think, I think Hollywood is just so off balance, so biased, so racist, so discriminatory. I just really wish, you know, most of our talented filmmakers and actors would just aim for something else. You know, media.
That's interesting. What would they aim for?
Well, media has been democratized. The internet can get you to anybody on earth. So you don't really need these big Hollywood studios as much as we did in the past. There are ways to crowdfund films. I think Spike Lee, he crowdfunded his last film. Mark Harris talked about how he got money for Black Coffee, and he made a great film with some great actors that did extremely well. He's going to be rich, you know, not just from this film, but from other projects that he's going to do. You know, I think that what we have to really think about is we have to let go of this need to, A, receive validation from meaningless organizations like the Academy. That doesn't mean a whole lot. An NAACP Image Award might mean a little bit more. We also have to let go of the idea that that we need to, you know, that an actor needs to make $10, $20 million a film in order to feel like they're successful. Maybe if you make $300,000 a film and you're doing films that are good for your community, that makes you just as successful as the guy who sells out for $5 or $10 million. That, you know, because I think the addiction to money, and this is where financial lovemaking comes into play. The addiction to money is a very dangerous thing for black people because you should never become addicted to a commodity that you do not control. Because in that relationship, in any addictive relationship, the power belongs to the pusher. And so when people know that you will sell your mama up the river to make another dollar, they're going to push you as far as they think that you'll go. And unfortunately, many of us, because we don't know who we are, because we have no pride in ourselves, because we have no pride in our history, we will do anything and say anything and justify it by saying, well, hey, man, it's all about the Benjamins. It's not just about the money. It's about something greater than that.
I think it's about definitely finding the balance in how you want to move forward with your career. The interesting thing regarding Monique's career is that a lot of things stopped at the same time. She got that award, and then the BET show kind of mysteriously disappeared. And that's on a network that's run by predominantly African-American team, even though, the parent company is Viacom. And then no other big movie roles materialized for her. So it will be interesting to see how things move forward. Now, one of the things about being blackballed, usually saying that I've been blackballed, isn't necessarily helpful to that. But there is some power in owning your truth. So definitely I agree with you in terms of finding your own balance in terms of pursuing your art and still having a lucrative career and what defining whatever lucrative means for you now and moving forward with that. You know, and the other thing is, you know, you really get to see what relationships are truly valuable in your life, because when you are no longer, you know, that 8-figure, 9-figure commodity, you know, you get to see what your relationship like is with those who love you, those with you who've worked on different projects, those who worked for you. And one of the things that Monique says in her statement is that her biggest ally throughout all of this has been her husband. And we know that finances can really make a marriage deteriorate, but that shows the strength of their relationship and the strength of their financial planning, because when you have the breadwinner not working for 4 or 5 years and you're still able to sustain yourself, that's a huge thing.
Yes, absolutely. And I just want to say, you know, I don't know if Monique will ever see any of this, but I just want to say, keep going, girl. Keep being strong. Bless you for speaking out. If there is anything I can do to help Monique on any level, I will do it, because I like the fact that she's called it for what it is. She didn't allow them to intimidate her to just cower back into a corner and remain silent, hoping that one day they might forgive her and give her some crappy little opportunity in Hollywood. No, she just threw it out there. Said, look, I've been blackballed, and this is what so-and-so said, and he did this, and he said that. And that makes people nervous. That makes them very self-conscious, because it makes the public look and say, what kind of racket are you guys running, you know, in Hollywood? What are you all doing to this woman that we love so much? So I think Monique's going to win. I think in the next few months, you're going to see her get an opportunity or two as a result of the fact that she had the courage to speak up. And there's the old saying by Laurel Thatcher Ulrich at Harvard University, which is that great women are rarely well-behaved. So, Monique, girl, keep misbehaving, keep speaking up, and let these suckers know that you're not going to let them abuse you in the dark. That's the bottom line. And so I say, you go, girl. I love it.
Absolutely. I'd love to see how speaking up works to her benefit. And we'd love to hear what our listeners have to say about this. How do you feel about Monique's claims that she's been blackballed by the industry? And are you willing to support her? Let us know.